Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the idea of judging righteously as finding a new way of seeing that which is above the testimony of the corporeal senses. Listen as we examine and expose the invisible, intangible, omnipresent spirit of life. In this show, we will explain why Jesus says in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and recognize the immortality of life. Swami, I see the title of today's show is Measuring the Vital Signs of Life. What would you like to tell us about that?
Yeah, I think we're accustomed to measuring life by the pulse rate that we have, if we are breathing, our rate of breath, our temperature, body temperature. But we want to start to move beyond the testimony of the corporeal senses. Here we'll talk about reaching beyond the limiting belief in mortality and see where it takes us to shift awareness from finite mortal being with needs, wants, and a seeming purpose into the perfection of being. Eternal life without opposite, beginning or end, invisible and intangible to the corporeal senses, is absolute bliss everywhere, always. The idea of developing a principle to live by that becomes a more reliable resource, more reliable than the mental material illusion of energy, to be born of spirit, not flesh, and to know yourself to be self-existent life itself, and not be fooled by the changing conditions of the outside world. What we are calling life isn't life at all. It isn't what Jesus or Mary Baker Eddy call life. We're missing the mark and thus living in sin, which is little to do with conduct or behavior.
Well, I'd like to talk more about this limiting belief in mortality. So can you give us an example of what that looks like when we're doing that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have a soundbite here from Herb Fitch I'd like to play. And if anybody is interested in the full audio file or the complete program, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com. This is from Revelation of St. John, Class 4A.
Looking through the finite physical eye, the finite physical ear, the finite physical sense of touch, we have become aware only of our finite level of perception, instead of becoming aware of the infinite Father's reality. But remove the five senses, and let that Christ sense, the single eye, become your five senses, and you are aware of the infinity, and then you are not aware of mortality, or of death, or of birth, or of defect, or of any form of imperfection. All these negative things are only in the eyes of the finite beholder, and we are told that we can come out of the finite beholding into the infinite beholding through the Christ mind, which is the single eye. The great and beautiful revelation of man's great error is this. This is John 5, verse 2. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I want you to take those two words, five porches, and change them to five senses. Read it again. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five senses. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Where did these blind, impotent, halt, withered folk lay? In the five senses. They were waiting for someone to move the water out there. Isn't that what man does? He's blind within the five senses. He's lame within the five senses. He has problems within the five senses, and he's waiting for something out there to come and deliver him. The moving of the water out there. Did Jesus take this man into the water? No. He said, rise. He didn't mean get up. He meant rise above your five senses, and you'll find you're perfect as your Father, which is in heaven. The minute the veil of the senses is removed, you see that you can pick up your bed and walk. You never were sick in the first place. Separated from your reality, the Christ, by the veil of the senses, we walk in a sense of mortality, though we are now immortal beings. Mankind walks within the five porches. You build a porch to shield yourself from the sun, so you get shade. The five porches and the five senses are the same. They're identical. That's the meaning. That's the hidden meaning of the five porches. The five senses act like porches. They cover the light and leave us in the shade, so that the eye does not see the fullness of what is there. The ear does not hear the fullness of what is there. The five senses do not know the fullness of what is there. And in that limited sense of things, we walk and call ourselves mortal beings. We do not have to wait for something out there to come and free us. We have to accept Christ within, who is already the established fact of being, which has overcome the five senses. And Christ within leads us out of the Egypt of these five senses. Now that's what the letter to Smyrna is telling us. That five senses have made us think we were physical mortal beings, but the angel of God in the midst of us is our true identity. And it is immortal now. It is spirit now. It is not divided from God. It is the individualization of God now. But we must read, hear, and keep. We must practice that knowledge of our identity in such a way that nothing in this world can tempt us to believe that we are less than the Father says we are. This is how we will overcome the five porches, the five senses.
Yeah, this is definitely not the normal grist for the mill. And so we have a tendency to resist this almost immediately. And a big part of that is understanding the idea this false sense of self is driven by fear. If we don't believe that we're a finite mortal being, then of course, that's the only way that we can sustain this sense of self. Once we understand you don't want to continue to be controlled by the information coming through your corporeal senses, so that you can start to open yourself up to this broader sense of self. This idea of having a principle, having a sense of self that is not susceptible to the fear. And this physical body is just like a monkey. It won't let go one branch unless it has another branch in the other hand. In order to make this transition from identifying with yourself physically, mentally, and starting to know yourself in the way that you're created, you want to start with a belief in the divine creation, the divine idea, the perfection of being. And you want to be clear about your understanding of this principle, because if you don't understand it correctly, then you can't experience it in your external world because the outside world is a mental image. It's your thought about what's here. It's the monitor. It's the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. It's never real, but we want to use it so we can establish what we are conscious of.
And you had said earlier, we have to shift this awareness from being a finite mortal being to something other than that. So how do we go about being born of the spirit? How do we start to know ourselves differently?
Yeah, here we work with progression. The idea, the caterpillar goes into a chrysalis and then emerges as the butterfly. The Christian myth, the crucifixion of the body, the resurrection of the son, the reunion with the father, the hero's journey, the separation, the journey, the return. To understand human development is to have some sort of plan in how to initiate this process. On a very simplistic level, we want to be able to control how we think. And in Kriya Yoga, we employ strategies to understand how things work. There's a direct relationship between life-sustaining force number one, thought, and life-sustaining force number two, breath. And that relationship is your rate of breath equals your rate of thought. What we also have to include here is it doesn't control the content of your thought. So this idea of shifting awareness from the mental material influence to the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence is also a variable. So there's a lot that has to be in place to graduate from identifying with yourself as a finite mortal being to eventually accepting spiritual identity.
And if we do that, are you saying that's how we can get by without being influenced by the five senses?
Yeah, the term in the Bible is called repent. It translates to mean think differently. I really like the teachings of Joel Goldsmith because he uses the term meditate. Mary Baker Eddy in her teaching never once uses the term meditate, but her concept of prayer and Joel Goldsmith's concept of meditation are the same. Meditation, by definition, is the seventh stage of yoga. It's the eighth stage of Buddhism. These are words in a book until you can associate them with the real experiences. Like Herb said, this idea in Revelations, read, hear, keep. There's levels of knowing and understanding that have to be in place in order for us to graduate from thinking with the five corporeal senses to knowing with these seven spiritual senses. And the symbolism you would look to in order to understand that would be things like the transfiguration in the Bible, the resurrection of Lazarus. These are all stories that let you understand the inner event, what has to be done in your consciousness in order for you to graduate from identifying with yourself physically, mentally, and then eventually spiritually.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsored listeners. We'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance at Institute for Personal Development Incorporated Kriya Yoga Ashram is a complete program for anyone looking to demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty. To demonstrate divine law, conscious awareness of divine truth is necessary. The spiritual advance starts with the divine creation, beginning with the principle that life is perfect. Resting in the knowledge that life is eternal, formless, changeless, and absolute good, the practitioner retreats from the obstructions, which are the veiling conditions of the mortal mind, then rests in the knowledge of the divine principle. Thus, revealing the precept, consciousness is experience. Visit the website www.ipdtransform.com and begin living under spiritual truth.
Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So we have in our notes here, we have a passage written by Paul, who wrote in Colossians 3:3, and I'm going to read it. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. End of the verse. It seems to me there is a lot we can talk about here. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he is saying we are dead because we are not born again in spirit. What do you think?
He is definitely saying a lot here. The idea of being born again is just the concept. We were never born in the first place. Even in Revelations in the Bible, they talk about the second death. Because the first death is our death to Christ, our belief we're a finite mortal being. And then, of course, we shift awareness to the belief in this mortal sense of life. And the second death is when that mortal sense of life seems to die. And the power of that statement that ye are dead is so valuable because it opens you up to the idea what I'm calling life isn't life at all, which is where we're socialized. This is as far as we go, and we continue to use the testimony of our senses as our sole indicator of what we are calling life. But as a result, we're a branch cut off from the vine. We're out of the Father's house. We're living a life without principle. We don't have the benefit of being undivided from the divine creative principle. We had to be educated and taught how to be born again of spirit. Now, with the wisdom that seemed to be at one time in place, where people were employing strategies in order to shift from thinking with the five material senses to knowing with these seven spiritual senses. It was better known during those times than it is now. This Herb Fitch is saying, this isn't stuff I grew up hearing anywhere. And so once you get over the initial shock, this does to you because it challenges your sense of self. It's threatening to the mortal sense of life. It doesn't feel right. It will never feel right because we identify with this mortality. And collectively, that's what we have accepted. Once you challenge the collective consensus and you start to practice things like skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, and thinking right as opposed to just following the testimony of your corporeal senses and establishing a relationship with this invisible, intangible resource, changeless, perfect, whole, everywhere, always.
So I'm thinking what you're saying is that if we continue to be fooled by the changing conditions of the world around us, this is what is meant by living in sin?
Right. That's what we said. It has very little to do with conduct. Right now, religion has us to believe if we are a good human, if we do what religion is telling us is being a good human, we will get this reward in the end. And we've bought into that. Jesus came along and he said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His entire message is the message of the Christ. It starts with what we're calling life isn't life at all. You are eternal spiritual being. Not that you will become, and what you're calling life is a lie. It's a murderer because we believe in death. in spirit, there is no death. It's eternal life. It's the changeless state of being. Because we are not taught to think differently, this wisdom is not in the foreground. We go to school to try and improve this false sense of self. We are trying to fix this world. None of this is in compliance with the message of the Christ. And Jesus knew that. And that's why when you get to Revelation in the Bible, the message of the Christ coming through John from Jesus to let us know the Christ is an eternal principle. It's not a person. It's the saving aspect of truth. It's our responsibility to become conscious of it. And then, of course, you start to read Revelations and you decipher the code that's written in and you break it down and it's guiding you to the experience we are suggesting here.
We have something here from Revelations chapter 1, verse 12. I'll read it and then we can talk about it. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. End of the verse. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I really like that. In fact, what I would like to do here is read what Herb Fitch said about that in Revelation of St. John, Class 4A. He starts, "Now there is a secret behind all of this. This world is the activity of the five senses of man made visible. God made nothing in this world. Our five senses are playing witness to their own thoughts. We are being told that the crown of life is attained when you rise out of your own thoughts. That living in your own thoughts, you can only live in a divided world of good and evil. Living in your own five sense perceptions, you are limited to birth, a human span, and death. Living in your own five sense idea of things, you will ever try to correct what seems wrong, to improve it, and to make it better, not knowing that whatever seems wrong is part of the fabric of the five-sense world and you cannot remove it. It will ever be there to taunt you. The overcoming unto death is developing that capacity to overcome your own five senses until they are dead as a determining factor of your existence." End of quote. All right, so this is what we're starting to learn. And all of the things that you want to start to put in place in order to make this possible for you, in order for you to get the God experience as opposed to the promise of Scripture.
Now, Swami, does that God experience, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the second death, is that right?
Well, yeah. In fact, I have some stuff here from Revelations 2:11, and I'll read it. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." End of quote. Next one, 26. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power." End of quote. And then 20:14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." Yeah, I really like the use of this term, second death. I think what they're really trying to do is get us to challenge what it is we're calling life. And to understand that without a principle, without the knowledge of the divine creation functioning everywhere always, we fall into this hypnotic state that we're in. without even understanding that it is a belief not backed by the divine principle. And in fact, like Herb said, God didn't make this world. This, to me, is revolutionary thinking. It's beyond anything that I ever heard growing up. But what you learn is that it's really not meant to be talked about. Spirit is a demonstrable principle. It's a law, and it testifies with deeds. Isn't that what Jesus says time and time again? If you don't believe me, believe my works, believe my deeds. And once you start to think differently, once you start to understand what it is they're suggesting here, and you learn how to stop being controlled by the information coming through your corporeal senses, and you establish this relationship with a more reliable resource, and you are now literally thinking differently. You are letting divine mind control the scientific government of your body, and you're starting to see the effect that has. When spirit is cause, creation is perfect.
Now, Swami, you always say things like, it's not just denying the senses. Why is that important?
Well, there's no power in denial. You're still in the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. If you don't make this inner event, if you don't change your identity from physical to mental to spiritual, and if you no longer believe in the testimony of the corporeal senses, and you let divine mind reveal its creation, then you see the results. You start to see the evidence of changing how you thought. Denial isn't dominion. To try and understand life from the perspective of the mortal mind becomes futile, because the mind can't free itself from its own creation. Mental material can't become spiritual, because only spirit is real. This is one of the reasons why Mary Baker Eddy uses words like resolve instead of fix. We don't become spirit. We let go of the belief in the unreality by stopping the mental material counterfeit veil.
And I also think there's a work by Joel Goldsmith called The Parenthesis in Eternity. And it's a great work on learning how to open the sense of self into the divine self way past the limits of this incarnation. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, just the title itself, A Parenthesis in Eternity, gives you such a great visual for this idea of what we're calling life in the context of a much bigger sense of self. Again, it's just a theory until you make it a practice, until you can actually rise out of this mortal sense of self and identify with yourself as the divine self, knowing there is only one perfect divine being, looking at itself, as itself, of itself, to itself.
Well, that completes our show for today, so listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, as you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press that will further your understanding. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and recognize the immortality of life. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga revelation. Namaste.